This is in Hebrews. We've kind of slowed down in Hebrews 11, and so we're taking up tonight's study is study 28 in Hebrews, and the date is the 20th day of February 2019, but we're going to look at chapter 13 of Judges through as far as we can go. Well, we probably won't get through all four chapters, but dealing with Samson and Samson's life, because it's based upon Hebrews 11:32, I believe, yeah. And it says in Hebrews 11:32, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets." So, Paul was kind of cutting his study down a little bit to tell these people. And he told them earlier on, you know, you're supposed to be teaching God's word, but you need a teacher for yourself. And so Paul was doing that, and he got this far over into the faith chapter of Hebrews, and he kind of put seven of them basically into one verse of scripture. So we've been looking at them, and we've looked at Gideon and Barak and Jephthah, but Samson we haven't looked at yet, and so we're going to look at Samson tonight and probably part of next study, because it's a kind of a lengthy thing, and also the fact is that, you know, Samson, like a lot of other people that God had chose to do work for him, really enjoyed the women. And so Samson is no different from the rest, but he wanders off of the campus, and he gets in with other women that he shouldn't be with, and that's his problem, and part of his problem, because God was with him to do the things that the Israelite had asked God to do for him. And so it starts off in 13. Let me get turned back over there to it. We get started off in Judges 13. If you got a companion Bible, it's on page 344, where we're going to start, and it starts off with, as it normally does with each of these people, on a time when they're calling out to God for help. And it says this in 13:1, "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord," and that evil again is, generally speaking, it's a lot of times it's dealing with things of idolatry. And it said that he did evil again in the sight of the Lord. They did, and the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines 40 years.
And that is one of the low MI periods.
Okay, so this 40 years involves the birth of Samson, and also his rule as a judge for 20 years. So this goes from, you know, it deals with the first 20 years of his life, and then the last 20 years of him being the deliverer of children of Israel. And so verse 2 through 22 deals with, or 21 maybe, deals with his wife and the angel that came and spoke to him. And it says in verse 2, "And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, so the tribe of Dan, and whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not." So there's going to be a promise made here, and they're in this probationary time. They're the 40 years, and they're going to promise a deliverer. And but we realize, kind of like Abraham and Sarah, Manoah's wife was barren and had no children. And then instead of the angel coming and appearing to the man, the angel came and appeared unto the woman. And he said, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son." So here was the promise that she was going to not be barren any longer, but that she would bring forth a deliverer, and that that person that was going to be delivered was a son. And it says, "Now therefore beware." So the angel keeps talking to her and says this, "Beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing." And so they were, of course, of the tribe of Dan, and they knew what was proper to eat and drink. And so the angel again was telling her that she needed to prepare herself for the promise. It says, "For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines." So the deal that they were dealing with here was the Philistines had overcame them, and they were having problems with the Philistines. And so the angel told them that his hair was not to be cut, and that he would be a Nazarite unto God, that the vow would be from the womb. And it wouldn't be something that was coming later. It was going to come
from
the day he was born, from the time that he was delivered. And so in verse 6, you got the idea that this baby was going to come and he was going to be a godly man, and that he would, it would be one that would come, and as if the woman did as she was told to do. Verse 6, "Then the woman came and told her husband, saying," so we don't know where Manoah was at the point that the angel came unto his wife, but they weren't together, not at that point. you know, not within the distance. And so it's, she told her husband, said, a man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God. Very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told me his name. So she didn't know where and why he showed up, and where he come from, or what, who his name was. And but he said he had the countenance of an angel of God. And so 8 through 14 deals with the second appearance of this angel, and he comes to Manoah. Then Manoah entreated the Lord. I suppose it was done in a prayer to God that, and the Lord said, oh my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. So he wanted more information than what his wife had given. And so he asked the angel of God to come. Said, let the man of God. And so this was not Jehovah that was going to do the talking. It was Elohim. Because this was someone that was going to direct a child of one of the 12 tribes against the nations, the Gentile nations. And so it was Elohim now that was directing the situation. An angel of God, Elohim. And it says, and God hearkened unto the voice of Manoah. And the angel of God, or Elohim, came again unto the woman as she sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and said unto him, behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. So it seems like that he would make a special point to go to her first and not to the husband, not to Manoah. And so it says in verse 11, Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, art thou the man that speaketh unto the woman? And he, the angel, said, I am. And Manoah said, now, let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? Manoah was, this was all new to him, and he didn't, they had never had a baby, had never had a child, and so he wanted to know the wherewith with this child, because it was kind of like Moses when he was put in the basket in the river. He was going to be a special person. And so Manoah realized and understood, you know, the significance of this angel talking to him and to the woman. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, of all I said unto the woman, let her beware, or let her remember. Take it to heart. She may not eat anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I have commanded, let her observe. So again, both now knew the instructions that were to be before Samson was born. And Manoah said unto the angel in verse 15 of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. And a kid was a young goat. So Manoah knew enough about his being and having been around the tribes and had probably seen a lot of stuff that he knew that if you were entreated by an angel or someone that was sent by God that you were to kill the best that you had and offer it to that person. And so he said, let us detain you. Let us keep you back here until we can kill a kid for you, a goat. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread, and if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. He didn't want any offering to be offered for his sake, but that it would be offered to Elohim. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord, but he had his suspicions. He hadn't really been convinced yet. And this is the way quite often a lot of the Israelite people were. It took them a little convincing. He hadn't seen a sign.
And they required
a sign. They required something that was that unusual, if you will, in that point. And then in verse 17, said, and Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, what is thy name when thy sayings come to pass, that we may do the honor? So he wanted to know what the name of the angel was going to be. And so he asked the angel his name, and the angel responded. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is a secret? And that word secret there, according to Isaiah 9:6, in the Hebrew means wonderful. The angel's name given was wonderful. So Manoah, verse 19, took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon an altar. I know your book says a rock unto the Lord, but the rock was an altar that was made to make burnt offerings upon. And the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. Verse 20. For it came to pass, when the flame went upward toward heaven from off the altar of the rock, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar, and Manoah and his wife looked on it, and they fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear unto Manoah and to his wife than Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. He had got his sign from God when the angel went up in the fire that was offered. He didn't eat with them, but when the offering was made in the fire, he went in the fire and leaned up. Yeah.
That's amazing. That always amazes me.
And that was, you know, it was all done for the reason and you know, and for the signs. And so this was the last appearance of the angel. Look what Manoah said. And Manoah said unto his wife, "We shall surely die because we have seen God." He thought he had seen Elohim, in reality.
Well, if he only told him that his name was secret or wonderful.
Wonderful.
He would not really have known whether he was seeing an angel or
whether he was seeing God. Yeah, it was kind of like, it was kind of like when he seen Satan, or Lucifer, the shining one.
Yeah. It's totally.
Yeah, you know, is this God?
Mm-hmm.
Because they hadn't seen God before. But his wife said unto him, verse 23, "If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands, neither would he have shown us all the things, nor would as at this time have told us such things as these." So she said, look, if God sent one to come and to tell us and to allow us to do and to have all this, these signs put forth and all this, he was who he said he was. And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtol. So he didn't let him stay in one part of the tribe of Dan all the time. He got moved around somewhat for a reason. I'll let you be the judge of that. I can't tell you. But the fact is, the camp of Dan was in a fortified place, according to 18:12 in here in Judges, and Eshtol was on the borders of Judah, so Eshtol might have been a little more unprotected than Zorah was because of how the land lay at that point. And so I think we can do 14:2 easy enough, so we'll go ahead and, there's only 20 verses in it, so we find it 14:1-20, deals with, the promise fulfilled that Samson would grow and God would bless him and that he would decide to get married. And here again is where he goes off course. God had told his people that whenever they were brought out of when they were brought out of Egypt with a high hand, that they would go and he was going to put them in a land and a place would be theirs, and that they were not supposed to intermarry with the children of that, or with the people of that place, that they were basically supposed to take them all out, have all that place for theirself. It was supposed to be a land of promise flowing with milk and honey, and they never did do the things that God told them that they would need to do. And see, I guess Samson probably now is around 20 years old. Samson went down to Timnath, and he saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. So here you go. None of these Israelite girls were good enough for him. Nobody in Dan met his fancies. This different woman was the trick. Isn't that the way it is a lot of times?
Youth is wasted on the young.
Yeah. And, the different look a little sometimes is what really gets a young man in the problem. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me to wife. Well, I bet that went over big in a Danite home. You can only imagine
almost sounds like you saw a bicycle at Western Auto when you wanted it.
Yeah, and it was probably not a good talk that these parents had with their son, but nevertheless, it didn't go far. Then his father and his mother said unto him, verse 3 of 14, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all of my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? You would go and pick a woman of the uncircumcised Philistines. Gee. And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth thee well. So, I guess looks are everything here with Samson anyway. So, we know that he had not had a haircut. I don't know how woolly he was, but he found the woman he wanted. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines. For at that time, the Philistines had dominion over Israel. So, they didn't understand that it was in God's plan for him to choose a Philistine woman. That was like Hosea.
Well, and the law clearly taught against that.
Yeah. But, in Hosea, when he was chosen to be a prophet, God told him, you go out and get you
marry the woman of Whoredom.
Whoredom, yeah. And it was for a reason.
Yeah.
Okay, so here we have the reason. The Philistines had control over the Israelites, and God was raising up an Israelite to take care of a lot of the Philistines. And, God's way of doing things sometimes man just don't get. And it takes an after view sometime, and man,
one or the other of us has to say that almost every study.
Yeah, in times that you know, we don't recognize it until the event takes place. Verse 5, then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against Samson. Oh, okay, so they went down there, and while they were getting close to where this girl lived, a young lion came out and decided he would back Samson up. And the Spirit of the Lord, verse 6, came mightily upon him, upon Samson, and he rent him or tore him as he would have torn a kid or a goat, and he had nothing in his hand. But he told not his father or his mother what he had done. So he just disemboweled this lion with his hands.
Tore him apart.
Killed him, threw him down on the ground. And he went down and talked with the woman. So he was evidently pretty close to where she was staying. And she pleased Samson well. Okay, so whatever agreement they had to make, or whatever what the order was of that day for that kind of thing, that took place. And it says, and after a time, because evidently there was a time of waiting here. And I'm not really familiar with all of the ways that these people do things. But, you know, it gives you the understanding here that she didn't go home with him right then, but it was a little time later he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, or what was left of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. So in the rib cage, I guess, and, you know, it probably still had the fur on it to an extent. He probably just disemboweled it and kind of hollowed it out and just left it laying there. So they had found this place to where they would make their honey. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating, and he came to his father and his mother, and he gave them, and they did eat. But he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lions. So this was his secret. So now Samson had a little secret. He didn't tell his mom and dad that he'd killed the lion, but then when he went back to get his wife, and there it was full of honey, he got the honey and took it to his mom and dad and didn't tell them where he got it. So his father went down unto the woman, and Samson made there a feast, for so used the young men to do. And so they were going to have a party. And I'm not sure, but it was kind of a wedding party, and could have been a bachelor party in sorts. I'm not sure. And it says, and it came to pass that when they saw him, that they brought 30 companions to be with him. And evidently, Samson now was 20 years old because the date here says 1120 to 1100 B.C. So 20 years have already passed. And so what he is going to do now is going to be the next, this rest of this chapter and two other chapters is going to be the 20 years that he fought and ruled as a judge over Israel. Okay? So he got 30 companions with him. And Samson said unto them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you. So in the course of the merriment, I'm thinking this is what took place. And he wanted to keep the party going, so he said, okay, I'm going to give you a riddle. I will now put forth a riddle unto you. If you can certainly declare it to me within the 7 days of the feast, so it was going to last 7 days, and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 changes of garments. So, they had made a little bet there. He says, but if you cannot declare it to me, then you shall give me 30 sheets and 30 changes of garments. And they said unto him, put forth thy riddle that we may hear. He said, yeah, we'll take you up. What is it? Verse 14, and he said unto them, out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. So they were
like a Jeopardy question.
Yeah, they were kind of at a crossroads here. They'd done spent half of their time trying to figure it out, didn't figure it out. And it said they could not in 3 days expound on the riddle. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they said unto Samson's wife, they said, oh, we'll get her. We'll get the woman. We'll see what it is. They said unto Samson's wife, entice thy husband, that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire. Have you called us to take that we have? It is not so.
Oh, they thought that they had just gotten down there to the party
to get
do a riddle and rob them of all their
of their goods that they brought with them. See,
I guess they got a little ticked about that.
Okay. Well, so they've got Samson's wife. She's a Philistine. She's probably part of them. And Samson's wife wept before him and said, thou doest but hate me and lovest me not, for thou hast put forth the riddle unto the children of my people and hast not told it to me. And he said unto her, behold, I have not told it unto my father, nor my mother. And shall I tell it to you? So this was her story that, you know, you've got my friends down here, and they're making threats. Of course, she probably didn't tell him that, but they told her that. And it said that she wept before him the 7 days, while the feast lasted, and it came to pass that on the seventh day he told her, because she lay sore upon him, and she told the riddle to the children of her people. And the men of the city said unto him on the seventh day before the sun went down. What is sweeter than honey and what is stronger than a lion? Oh, boy. And he said unto them, if you had not plowed with my heifer, you had not found out my riches.
That's amazing.
So he said, you know, that's kind of like going out and milking my heifer. That's not a good deal at all. And so he realized what, he knew what had took place. So, and it said the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men of them and took their spoils and gave change of garments unto them which had expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house. But Samson's wife was given to his companion, whom he had used as his friend. That was probably his best man.
Yeah.
Maybe that's where that came from, where that deal, you know, of being the best man come
from.
Guess
he wasn't going to keep her.
I'm not sure. So, see, she had betrayed him.
Yeah.
And so he went down and killed 30 other guys that didn't have anything to do with it. And he took their stuff and he gave it to them. And he went back home. He went back up with his to his mom and dad. After he killed them. So that's half the story. And it's a good place to stop. And we've been going on now, yeah, for about 35, 40 minutes. So it's a good place to stop, but this is only just half the story. So the rest of the story comes up, and he gets involved with the others of that he's dealing with, and then finally he sees the woman he likes, and he lives with her a little bit, and then he gets Delilah, and she does the same thing that this lady does. Yeah. But and which causes him to lose out. But
Dorothy said, "Well, we have to wait for the rest of the story."
But this is the rest. You know, this is kind of.
I think they could skip ahead and read it.
Yeah, this is kind of the rest of the story. But there's things that Samson does that just kind of blows my mind. And the Philistines pay for it, in more ways than one. But you got to remember.
Yeah, enough. It says the Spirit of the Lord came upon him.
Yeah.
It ain't just him no more.
Right. But you got to remember that in Genesis 6, when the Philistines were having these ungodly beings, these angels, the angels that fell with Satan, and I think he taught them how to copulate with the women and to have and raise a group of men that were neither angelic or neither human, but they were half-breeds. And the fallen angels went into the Philistine women. The Philistine women were the mothers of these because they were called Philistines. And it wasn't the Israelite women. it was the Philistine women that were having these hyphens that Satan used for strength against the children of God.
Oh, the hyphens.
Yeah, the hyphens.
The Amorites, the Hittites, the
Hivites. Right. All of these ites that were bearing these kids were Philistine women.
Amalekites.
And so when you start looking and you start putting these things together, then you can kind of see how that and why that certain things were done in the realm of the thing that was between the enmity that was between God and God's seed and between Satan and Satan's seed. You know, we find early on in Genesis that there was enmity between, that there was always this wrath that was between the two camps, being played out in a way that man probably didn't understand. And so, you know, David got caught up into that same thing when he slew the giant Goliath, and that this thing between God's people and Satan's people were an ongoing thing, and that's one reason why that even when they were traveling through these countries, traveling through these places, going out of Egypt into their land, that these people that were already there in places didn't want them to cross over their land. They didn't want them even walking over, even if they could just go on and go through.
Yeah, the unholy seed already owned all the land. They were already in it.
Yeah. So, this was the situation that we're finding ourselves in back here in this history lesson that we're reading. So we'll pick it up next time in 15 and 16, and we'll spend another 45 minutes or so in the study of Judges 15 and 16, and then we'll turn and do a little bit with the others that are spoken of there in Hebrews 11:32, and then we'll go, and after that we'll finish that book out. But you see the reason why that Paul didn't go back and expound all these things to these people, because it would have taken him some time to have went over and to have done all this. So when he was giving them a history lesson, when Paul was giving these young Hebrew people that were not doing God's will a lesson, then he gave them, I think this was their homework.
I agree with you, because the four chapters just hits the high points of Samson's life.
Yeah.
Probably a lot of detail that was in there.
Yeah, and then it would take you a long time, you know, to go back to David and to do, and the prophets, you know, and he just kind of summarizes the things that some of the prophets got involved with.
Yeah.
And we might get into a little more of that, but we're not going to do every one, but we'll get into some of those things that, when we do that. So thank you for being with us, and I hope you, I'm sure most of you read it before, but, you know, to go back over it again and to refresh your memory and to bring it back to mind and to see that the things that God uses and how God works is amazing to see what he uses and how he does it and how he gets involved and how he doesn't forget his people. It may take them a long time when they start crying out to God. It may be a long time before he acts, but he always acts. He always remembers them because he had made promises to them. And these people had not received their promises because they too were promised a Messiah. They will get one. And that's another thing. You know, when we went through part of that, we went down and talked about Noah and his faith in God, but we didn't talk about Methuselah. But God promised them that they would have their Messiah for 1,000 years. Guess what? Methuselah was the only one that lived close to 1,000 years. So God showed them that if one could do it, he could make others to do it too. And so, you need to look at the difference between Methuselah's age and the 1,000 years. The difference between Methuselah's age and 1,000 years. And you might find that that will probably be tacked on to a time after God appears for his saints to complete his body. You might have to add that to that number because this was what these people were promised. So again, this is another little thing. It might not be anything to it. I might be sending you off on a wild goose chase, but God does things for a reason. And sometimes we don't understand the reasons. And we still learn. Every time we open the book, we learn, because that's the reason we study, is to show ourselves approved unto God. And that may just be coincidence, but it may not. We don't know. But it's something to think about.